I think that when kids are a little chaotic on our Sunday mornings, that God looks down smiling at us. So thank you guys. Palm Sunday is one of my favorite Sundays. So I want to tell you about 10 years ago, a little over 10 years ago, Wes and I celebrated our wedding. It was January of 2014, and we had just been married. And now was the time that we were going to celebrate that marriage and get to go on our honeymoon. So I think our marriage counselor maybe should have told us before we got married that maybe we could have traveled together a little bit before so we could see what kind of stressful situations that we might be in the future of our marriage. But I thought I was going to be fine because I've gotten to travel a lot in my life. I got to study abroad in college. I've gotten a lot of opportunities to put stamps in my passport. And Wes, at this point, had never flown on an airplane at all. So I thought, Wes is going to be so impressed with me, okay? I'm cool, confident, chill, responsible, adult. He's going to be like, yes, I married a good one. So what we were going to do was we were going to take a flight from Dallas to Orlando. And then from Orlando, we were going to take a shuttle down to the port so that we could cruise to the Bahamas. It was going to be awesome. So everything on day one is going great. Wes and I hand our passports to the lady at the check-in desk. We get into our seats. We manage Southwest's crazy seating policy. We're sipping our ginger ale. We're enjoying our flight. We make it to Orlando, get to our hotel. Everything's great. Day one, I killed it. He's excited to be married to me. Then it's day two, okay? And we wake up and you're doing the thing where you check your pockets and make sure you have your phone and your wallet, and my passport's gone. And I don't want to overstate this. I lost my mind. So I'm yelling at Wes to get on the phone with the cruise ship company and see if they're willing to break international law so that I can cruise without a passport. And while I'm yelling at him to do that, I'm over here on my phone and I'm talking to Southwest and I'm trying to find out, where is my passport? I think it's in the seat pocket. Could you possibly get into that plane, get it out of the pocket and get it to me before we're supposed to be on our cruise in 3 hours? I was not my best self. Wes describes this as a grueling 3-hour ordeal, but it probably was only about 15 minutes. But then he goes to all of my suitcases, and he's doing just one last check, and he unzips my carry-on and pulls right out my passport. And I just feel relief. My honeymoon's not ruined. I am good. We're going to go. It's going to be great. And then I open my eyes, and I look at his face of disappointment. And I'm like, Wes, am I still a calm, cool, rational, normal adult that you're proud to be married to, or what? So I didn't do great on my second day of marriage, but we have made it 10 years, and so I'm proud. I'm hoping to make it 20 or 30 or 50 more years with him. But I struggle. Remembering things is not my giftedness. Sometimes I'll jump to the worst case scenario, but other times my friends know that I'm likely to forget that a birthday party happened or show up to lunch on the wrong day. I never know where my keys are. They're always gone. Do not ask me to be a part of your trivia team. If you are up on the front rows, you maybe can tell that I'm wearing a lot of concealer on my eye. Yesterday or Friday night, I got kicked in the face at Taekwondo, so I have a double black eye. What I take from that is that I need to remember to keep my hands up so that someone, but I'm bad at remembering that too, but hopefully I'll do better in the future. Remembering things is complicated for me. And being a person of faith, there's a lot of things to remember. For example, scripture memorization. I know so many people in this room who know this Bible back and front, who know the words in this book and know where they came from and what the context is around it. And you can feel it when someone knows the Bible because their life is different knowing these truths. And so what we do in the nursery, as soon as someone comes into the nursery, our little babies, we start speaking words of truth over them, trying to say these words so that they start to be immersed in scripture. And then as they get a little older, I'm hoping that they are going to take some initiative themselves and do some of the memorizing on their own. And that hopefully when they get older, that they are those types of people that you can feel scripture seeped into their being. But it's just never been my giftedness. It's not a skill that I'm going to have. Hopefully I have some other ones. Hopefully God's impressed with me, but maybe not. Also, you know, we used to have, during communion, every Sunday it felt like most of my life, the scripture that I remember most in communion is "Do this in remembrance of me," right? Some of you old school people might have even had a table here at the front with communion trays on it, and it might say, "This do in remembrance of me." Anyone remember that? So when I take communion, I sit in my seat. I sit over here, so I'm gonna keep pointing over here. I sit in my seat, and I try to remember, and I try to recall what Jesus was like. I'm going, curly hair like mine. He cried one time, and I'm trying to remember who he is to make this moment meaningful to me, to make it special. And I get kind of jealous of the disciples, right? Peter and James and John, they knew what Jesus' laugh sounded like. They knew what it felt like when he put his hand on their shoulder as he walked by them. They knew how crazy his hair looked in the morning whenever he got up from a bad night's sleep, or what kind of seasoning he liked in his food. So when Jesus says, "Do this in remembrance of me," I'm like, are you talking to me, God, or are you talking to them? Because I think the disciples have it a little bit easier because they can remember all those things. So when they sit and take communion and try to recall you, they have a face. But let's look at scripture. Let's look what it says. Luke 22:19 says, "After taking the bread and giving thanks, he broke it and he gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Now, on my row, there are a few kids at communion time. And if you sit over here, you might not know that over here, there's a little chaos at the time whenever it's time to take communion. And so that's fine, you know, and there are lots of really good and valid and true reasons that I super respect for why people should wait for their kids to take communion until they get baptized. But Wes and I have made the decision that for our family, when our kids are alert, when they're paying attention, that for our family, we're gonna let them take communion so that they can be part of being in this unified body, doing a weekly ritual of connecting to our church. So when our kids are alert, when they're awake to it, they're taking communion. And so on our row, it gets a little chaotic. I've got a 6-year-old and a 3-year-old, and sometimes they've got friends around, and it can be just everyone's afraid that the communion tray is gonna spill, right? I've never seen a communion tray actually be spilled, but I'm afraid of it, okay? I know that I'm scared. And so one of the ways that we've combated that fear is that Henry, my 6-year-old, he's in charge of taking the bread, opening up the bag, tearing the bread for each of us so that we all get a piece. He loves this part of communion because he's always trying to get the biggest piece possible. But I love this part of communion because then I take my piece and I look him in the eye and I say, "This is the body of Christ, broken for you." And we sit there and we try to remember Jesus. We try to put every piece of church that we've had together and remember. But is that all that's supposed to be happening? Is that all we're doing? Is just remembering? If it's just recalling, I wonder, because Jesus is here on the table. It says, "This do this in remembrance of me." It says, "Do this in remembrance of me," not "Think about this in remembrance of me," not "Believe in this in remembrance of me." So why does it say "do"? If you can see my raccoon eyes or you follow me on Facebook, you might know that I am doing Taekwondo for the past few years, and I love it. It's been so good for me. And what happens on our first class of Taekwondo is if you survive the first class, which most people do, they will give you a belt. They'll say, "Holly, you've earned your white belt." And they'll tie it on you, and they'll cinch it tight, and they'll give you a high five, and they say, "Congratulations, you earned it." And then over the next few days, it'll be where we'll be, I don't know how to tie my belt yet. So someone's always around to cinch my belt tight, give me a high five, and say, "Good job. You're going to have a good class." And every belt that I've earned since then, they cinch it tight, give me a high five, and say, "Congratulations, you've earned your red belt." When I started getting to help in the classes at the school, they told me that they do this on purpose Because on days when I'm having a hard day and I've been kicked in the face and my belt is loose, and one of my instructors comes up and he tightens my belt and he says, good job, Holly, high five. He's hoping that what I do there, the moment my body is remembering why I got on the mat in the first place. That my body is going, remember that first class and how excited I was to start this new adventure? Remember it? And so with this, every cinch and every high five, I'm hopefully recalling back to that time. So when Jesus says, do this in remembrance of me, I think there's got to be some sort of action happening. Okay, he tells us to do this in remembrance of him on the night where he's about to be arrested. He's about to show us a physical action of what it means to love people. He's doing something, so I think he's wanting us to do it too. So Henry has torn my bread. He's put it into pieces. I look him in the eye, and I say, this is the body of Christ given for you. And there's beauty and power and truth in that. But is that all that's happening? Let's look at 1 Corinthians 10. It says, isn't the cup of blessing that we bless a sharing in the blood of Christ? Isn't the loaf that we break a sharing in the body of Christ? Since there is one loaf of bread, we who are many are one body because we all share the one loaf. We are all one in Christ. There's just one loaf. I think what I want to do is I want to take communion and I want to be by myself and I want to have my own moment with God. But I think it's possible that what we're supposed to be doing is putting the bread back together. If I just keep thinking about it, I think the remembrance ends up being incomplete. It's incomplete if it stays in all of these little pieces. There's this word, remember. And I want you to see it, okay? Is anything else going on with this word? Because I think if we're looking at it as some sort of action, I think Jesus doesn't just mean, don't forget me. I don't think that Jesus is going, think about me. Like, of course, that's what he wants us to do. But I think Jesus has something more to say to us here. What if we are remembering what has been dismembered? What if we're supposed to take this broken bread and by sharing it together, it becomes one loaf again? Is that the action that Jesus is asking us to do, to put back together what's been dismembered? To do this in remembrance of him requires us to remember, to bring broken pieces back together for the whole body, in the unified body of Christ. Barbara Brown Taylor is one of my favorite authors, and she says this quote, "Why else did Jesus spend his last night on earth teaching his disciples?" The quote, yeah. Teaching his disciples to wash feet and share supper. With all the conceptual truths in the universe at his disposal, he did not give them something to think about together when he was gone. Instead, he gave them concrete things to do, specific ways of being together in their bodies when he was no longer around to teach them about himself. After he was gone, they would still have God's word, but that word was going to need some new flesh. So Jesus gave them things they could get their hands on. Things that would require them to get close enough to touch one another. Now, I know what you're thinking. Close enough to touch one another is not my favorite thing to be. And there are lots of people that make me uncomfortable to be close to. And I know you're thinking about them right now. You're saying, what about? You're like, what about the person who hurts my feelings? What about the person who posts cruel memes on Facebook? Is that who God's talking about here? Is that who Jesus wants me to take communion with? What about the person who votes for the person that I'm afraid is going to get into office? I don't feel like I have anything in common with them. Is that who I'm supposed to be part of the unified body of Christ with? What about the customer that yelled at me about something that wasn't my fault? That made me angry. I don't want to be close to them. What about the person that scares us? Or the person who makes me wonder if I even need to come to church anymore at all? Is that what we're looking for here? Our communion servers are going to, if you are not all the way already back there, I'm asking you to go ahead and go back because we're going to take communion here in a minute. But it can be really hard to include some of those people into our work of remembering what's been dismembered in part of remembering Jesus. Do they have to be a part of making broken things whole again? Well, we are one body. There is one loaf of bread. And Jesus gave us this task on the same night that he sat with Peter and with Judas. So I think he knew how complicated it was for us to be in community together. He gave us specific ways of being in the world so that we would know what it was like when he wasn't here, teaching us himself how to be the unified body of Christ. Sometimes I think what I want to do is just take a smidge of what was promised to me. Like, I just want to have just a moment with me and God, and maybe God isn't making the broken things inside of me whole because I'm trying to control it. I'm trying to control what he's doing in me. So I'm not reaching out to other people. I'm just by myself, me and God. And so I just settle for a smidge of the goodness that God has promised me. Just a little bit. But he gave us those things as well as the remembering. And my hope, I think our hope, is that if we can take this room and become one here in this room, make what's broken in here whole again, that maybe we have a shot out there of making what's broken out there whole again too. Thanks be to God for that. So they're gonna come down with the communion. They're gonna do the bread first and then the cup. It's gonna be one after the other. I hope that you'll look to the person to your left and right and make eye contact with them. And if you're brave, maybe you'll say, "This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the blood of Christ shared for you." Because doing things individually, I think, is just a piece of what God hopes for us as a whole. Let's pray. God, please take what's broken in here and make it whole too. Help us to remember what's been dismembered. Bless this communion and those who are taking it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you for the cross, communion. Lord.
Bread. Do you want some communion? It's bread. Do you
thank
want some communion?
Thank you for the price. Sure? Okay. You paid, bearing all my sin and shame. In love you came and gave amazing grace. Thank you for this love, Lord. Thank you for the nail-pierced hands. Washed me in your cleansing flow. Now all I know is your forgiveness and embrace. Worthy is the Lamb seated on the throne. Crown you now. You reign victorious. I am lifted up, Jesus, Son of God, the darling of heaven crucified. Worthy the Lamb, worthy is the Lamb. Thank you for the cross, Lord. Thank you for the price you paid, bearing all my sin. For this love, Lord, thank you for for the nail-pierced hands. Wash me in your cleansing flow. Now all I know is your forgiveness and embrace. Worthy is the Lamb seated on the throne. Crown you now with many crowns. You reign victorious. I am lifted up, Jesus, Son of God, the darling of heaven crucified. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the
After this meal, Jesus is arrested, and he's found guilty of what? Causing riots, disturbing the peace, exorcising demons, claiming to be the Messiah, or that's what the Sanhedrin is accusing him of, which leads him to the cross, where he is bloody, broken, betrayed, and alone. Except there are two criminals, one on the left and one on the right. And as they're up there dying together, one of them leans forward and he says, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." He's probably just saying, "I don't want to die alone. Don't forget about me. I want this to mean something, Jesus. Think about me. I don't want to be alone." But he doesn't know that he's talking to someone who can do more with anything we ask than we could ever imagine. And so when he says, "Jesus, remember me," Jesus says, "Truly, I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." He's saying, "I'm not going to have to remember you. I'm not going to have to think about you. I've already done it. You're coming with me." And that's our hope too, that with all the things that's broken, that we're doing in communion and trying to do and trying to make one bread again, that Jesus, while we're doing that, is doing the work inside of me. That he's taken what's broken and dismembered inside of my heart and he's making it whole again. And then as he does that, then I can take part in the work that he's doing out in the world to make what's broken out there whole again. Thanks be to God for that. In a second, our shepherds and their wives are going to be at these doors, the main doors. If you are broken or dismembered, I pray that you will go to them because they want to pray for you as together we stand and sing.